Hi, thank you. I'm definitely the relative newcomer to this field. I kind of fell into this interesting area of public health through my thesis project. I recently graduated with an MPH from the University of Washington. I found that I was interested in this topic, and there wasn't a lot of coursework available on the nexus between health and conflict. So I asked the question, why aren't there more courses? And my advisor, Amy Hagopian, said, that's a great question. You should research that, find out, and advocate for there to be more courses. So here I am doing just that. So why is war important, especially now? The United States is a driving force right now, both in the global health community and in terms of warfare conducted globally. So I think we're especially well suited to take on this topic, being Americans. War is a social determinant of health, and consensus in the global health community is that students and public health practitioners need to be more aware of and able to intervene to change the course of primary social and environmental determinants of health and not just react to poor health worldwide. So, war and conflict is an underlying cause of poor health, and it's also an intermediary cause. As Len mentioned, last year there was the policy statement here at APHA, which really provides a starting point for the public health profession to engage in war and conflict in general. Public health is really the work of prevention, and prevention can happen at all levels in terms of war. So, on the individual level, doing behavior change work, the societal level, the national level, the international level. Public health workers often are involved in addressing the consequences of war. We're often there to clean up. We work in refugee camps. We work in internally displaced persons camps. But it's only relatively recently that there's been a larger movement to engage in primary prevention work, which is before a conflict occurs. So, as most of us know, there are three areas of prevention. Primary prevention, which is before a conflict occurs, doing work to help prevent that conflict from flaring up. Secondary prevention, which is mitigating the consequences of conflict during a conflict. And tertiary prevention, which is cleaning up after a war in a way in which it will prevent a future flare-up or that will encourage extended peace. So this is not an exhaustive list of skills, when I started to create this presentation, I started to organize the skills in terms of primary, secondary, and tertiary prevention, but there's really a lot of crossover, so I didn't want to break it up that way. So advocacy skills, as we heard, are really important. And these skills are not unique to public health professionals who are interested in war. These are useful to public health professionals dealing with any topic. So these are not skills that should be focused only on the war topic, but rather conflict is a way in which you can apply these skills. So coordination, liaison skills, conflict analysis skills, as Susanna said, doing risk analysis of really where can public health researchers and people doing work in areas, how can we assess what the risk is going into those areas to do surveillance work. Let's see. So also data collection and analysis skills once you're in those areas, and self-care skills, which are important for those who are working in these conflict zones or in these refugee camps who need to be able to take care of themselves, remain professional, remain stable enough to continue this difficult work. So global health is public health. Why am I focusing on global health? Well, because I got my degree in global health, but also because I think it's a really up-and-coming area. There's a lot of funding, a lot of universities are newly developing departments of global health, and it's only recently that the Association of Schools of Public Health has started to develop a global health core competency, set of core competencies. So we're at a really unique place where we can contribute to that and make sure that WAR is incorporated into those competencies. So, but it's not only people, public health professionals, who want to work in conflict zones or who want to work, do the work that PHR does, that need these skills, because especially here in the United States and globally, WAR is affecting us all. So even a public health worker who's going to be working in a local county public health department will have lots of contact with returning vets, families that are affected by the wars that we're currently in, and moreover, just the fact that we're living in a very militarized society right now. So these skills are important for people working domestically, working internationally. So hopefully, we'll start by integrating them into global health curriculum, and that will expand into core MPH curriculum. So this slide is from the Global Health Core Competency Development Project, and this is what they think that public health students should, global health students should have in their toolkit when they graduate. So as you can see, there's nothing specific about, this is their broad statement, there's nothing specific about, you know, biostatistics, epidemiology, those kinds of things, but really to eliminate health and social disparities worldwide. And if our goal is that, then we really can't do that without addressing war and conflict. So these are the seven competency domains that they've developed. It's still a work in progress. There's still an opportunity to get involved. And as you can see, those skills that I mentioned before can fit into these seven competencies. They're not competencies on their own. It's simply working them into these core competencies. So for example, number five, project and process management. If I'm setting up a health promotion project in a post-conflict setting like Liberia, what things do I need to consider to help promote peace and to help promote positive relationships between those potentially the factions, the previously warring factions, or the people who were combatants and who are now civilians? How do we integrate that into our public health programs to make the peace longer lasting and more stable? Ethical reasoning and professional practice, as Susanna was talking about, being able to apply, you know, the ethics class that you maybe get for a semester or a quarter in your public health training. How does that apply when you're in a really sticky situation, like in a conflict or post-conflict area? What skills do you need in order to design a study that will get you the information you need without causing further harm to the population that's already been through so much? So now, in the era of budget cuts and reduced, you know, bandwidth in order to include a new topic, or not necessarily a new topic, but to try to push for further integration of WAR into public health curriculum, there's a couple ways that we can do that. There are obviously direct ways to get it incorporated into pre-existing courses or additional courses that specifically focus on war and conflict. Additionally, there the including it in the ASPH competency project and having other associations like the Consortium of Universities for Global Health adopt it as one of their initiatives. But then also indirect ways, encouraging student journal clubs, holding conferences, which I'll talk about in a minute, workshops, including it in seminar series, encouraging students to take these up as thesis options, encouraging research that can be done safely within the scope of a master's program for students and relevant field work or practicum opportunities for students. As we all know, academic institutions are large bureaucratic beings, and it takes a long time to work things, new items into the curriculum, but there's a way to expose students to these important issues already in classes that exist. So, as Len said, this past spring, I was the co-chair of a conference, the Warren Global Health Conference, that was hosted at the University of Washington in Seattle. It was planned by a committee of about 20 students, very multidisciplinary, from the School of Medicine, nursing, law, international studies, the whole gamut. And these were the goals of our conference. We were really hoping to enumerate the multitude of ways in which war negatively affects health. So, as was said before, not simply direct number of casualties from violence, but also the disease that results from it, the lack of the destroying of health infrastructure, all of that. To explore the larger context in which war is propagated as it relates to social determinants of health, and to empower health professionals and students to engage in prevention activities at all three of those levels. So those were our goals of our conference. We had these six tracks. We had total about 650 participants in the conference. It was 2.5 days. We had our keynote speaker was Chris Hedges, who's a journalist that has worked for years in war settings, and he delivered a very powerful and thought-provoking keynote address, which kind of set the stage for great discussion about what are the causes of war, how can we address those root causes, how can we work on war at wherever we are in our career or in our desires. There were workshops, sessions on skill building, there were panels, there was a film and discussion about Liberian women working for peace. And I think what was really unique about this conference is it was fully student planned. We had faculty leadership who were advising us, but it was all of the tracks and all of the speakers were found and were people that the students were excited to hear from, which I think shows that this new generation of public health workers is excited to engage on this topic and really see themselves as well-positioned to create a more peaceful and healthy world. So if you want to learn more or plan your very own conference, we developed a manual to make it easier for you. So you can visit our website. You can watch some of the many amazing presentations that occurred at the conference. And that's the website, wrhc.org. And I would just like to thank Amy and the Student Conference Planning Committee and the Department of Global Health at the University of Washington. Thank you. Thank you.